It's hard to believe we've been giving a kasher shiur for about 8 months, and I don't think we've said the word bas b'chol yet. So that's about to change very quickly. So we've reached a point where we're probably going to take upon ourselves the okay. Reach a point where we can take upon ourselves the largest topic, the topic of bas b'chol, which is definitely the most relevant halacha l'maisa part in terms of his kashrus playing out as man hazeh. So let's try to give a little bit of a definition before we get to any real l'maisa shaila, so to speak, of bas b'chalav. We have to define a couple of terms properly. So the terms we have to define are all the terms that appear in the Chumash concerning the issur bas b'chalav. So one is, okay, the word lo, that's pretty easy to know. Savashel, it's an important term to define. Gedi, b'chalav, imo, so not too many words. Not too many words to try to define what makes up the background in terms of the Issur ben HaTorah of Bas B'chalav, then of course the Dinim D'Rabbanan and the extensions of Bas B'chalav. So one thing is very, very clear. The Tosh Rav explains to us that the word Gedi should not be translated in the very, very literal sense to mean only a goat. And the word Gedi, as Rashi quotes in Chumash, means a vlad, means an animal. An animal, particularly meaning a behemoth. We'll talk a little bit about chayos as we go on. But the word Gedi, no question about it, according to the Teshuvah Pei, explains to us, refers to both to a goat, as well as to a sheep, as well as to cow, which pretty much takes up all of kosher kinds of meat, at least besar beheba. So that is clear in the Torah. There is absolutely no distinction between cooking goats and cooking sheep and cooking meat. When I say cooking, so I'm only using the Loshna Torah, but of course, as we all know, that the Yisur Bas B'chalav applies to an Yisur Bishol, an Yisur Achir, an Yisur Anog. Again, we're going to talk about that as we go on. So we're still just trying to define what the word Basar means. So nevertheless, the Gemara does raise the question, what about other kinds of members of the animal kingdom, I don't even want to say the word animal, members of the animal kingdom, not necessarily sheep, goats, and cattle, where do they fit into the picture of Bas B'chalav on a level of Deraisa or on a level of Derabbanan? So the two animals that Chazal pick up upon are, number one, eschayos, are wild animals. So we already know from yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah that there are differences in halacha between behemos and chayos. There are only three kosher behemos, only sheep, goats, and cows, and cattle family. There are only three kinds of kosher behemos. There are seven kosher chayos that the Torah spells out. Ayal, Tzvi, V'yachlum, I'm not exactly sure what all them are, but there are seven kosher chayos. The chayos are the wild animals. So we know from Kriyas HaTorah of yesterday that in certain areas of halacha they are different. Let's say, for example, vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Kisi Hadam. So there's only a mitzvah to cover the blood when you shecht the chayah, or shecht an oaf for that matter. When you shecht a behema, you shecht a sheep, shecht a cow, there is no mitzvah of kisi adam. There are differences between behemas and chayahs. Also, going back to Ilchos Chelev, the prohibited fats, and the Torah says that the Isra Chelev only applies to shor chevefeiz, it only applies to cattle, to sheep, and to goats. It does not apply to chayahs, let's say a deer or antelope. So the Chelev is perfectly permissible. However, in terms of other halachas, they are the same. In terms of shechita, so chayos are the same as behemos. In terms of other different areas of halacha, in terms of ginan osher, there are other dinim where chayos and behemos are the same. So when it comes to bas b'chalav, so that's a loaded question. Does the dinim of bas b'chalav apply to chayos as well? Or the more common question for us is, what about ofos? So birds are also very, very tricky. Birds have certain similarities to meat. In some areas of halacha, in other areas of halacha, they part ways from meat. We spoke about this in terms of shechita. In terms of shechita, there was a big machlokes hatanoim. Just how similar to animals are birds. So we paskin they're kind of similar. Somewhere in the middle, they're similar. That you have to shecht one sibin on a bird. On an animal, you have to shecht both the trachea and the esophagus. Whereas on a bird, you only have to shecht one of them. So are they similar to animals? Yeah. Are they different? Also, yeah. So birds have their own area of halacha. We just spoke about last week, we had the schuss last night, when we were here last Friday night, so we had the schuss to hear Rabbi Willick speak about the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So he was talking about Bosor, and Yayin, and by day, and by night. So he was talking about the question that he had with Rabbi Shechter about how do you define Yom for the purposes of Simchas Yontif. Does the day follow the night like usual, or maybe the night follows the day because of Karbanos? Because the whole Simchas Yontif is derived from Karbanos. So I was telling you after the show was over, after Meyer, so I was telling him over the story about the turkey in the tunnel. Some of you may remember that story when it was about 10 years ago or so, I was going with my kids from through the Lincoln Tunnel on one day, Chol HaMoed, it was Chol HaMoed Pesach, I remember that. And it was late in the day, and we had turkey sandwiches with us, and turkey and matzah, whatever, in the back seat. And we were planning on having some picnic somewhere along the way. Tachlis, that picnic consisted of, and we got stuck in Lincoln Tunnel for about 2 hours, and it was almost Shkia. So I realized I hadn't yet had meat that night. So it was right before Shkia, so I couldn't wash. So we tossed the matzah, and I grabbed a couple of slices of turkey. So me and the boys were munching on turkey, so we came known to us as the turkey in the tunnel chumrah. So as the sun is setting, you're stuck in the Lincoln Tunnel. You have to be, I'd say, turkey in the tunnel. So I commented to Rabbi Willig, I told him all the story. So I said, according to Rabbi Schechter, I would have had a lot more time, because according to Rabbi Schechter, I would have had till the entire night. The night follows the day. So one of my boys quipped at the time, but according to Rabbi Schechter, turkey is treif. So he came up and told the mitzvah with turkey. He said, right, so mitzvah bab yavero. So we had a whole new shaila for the yaitz and mitzvah bab yavero with turkey. So Rabbi Willig pointed out to me, whatever Rabbi Schechter, that's how Pasha can be yotzei sikwas yantif with turkey. It's also for the shaila. So for that, we're a little bit, yesh lachal a little bit for the chumra basar on every day of Chol HaMoed before Shkia, so maybe give a makel on turkey. Anyway, that was the humorous side of the post-mire of discussion going on. Anyway, so the bottom line is, birds, poultry, we're not quite sure where it fits into terms of many, many halachas that govern meat. So here, there was a machlekes hatanaim about this very question, about besar of. Is besar of considered to be part of the iser of basa b'chalav min haTorah or not? So the Gemara says that a lot of the discussion revolves around the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. The Torah introduces the iser of basa b'chalav in Parshas Re'eh for the third time around. The Torah says, lo sochlu kol nevela, l'ger shem sharecha, lo savashim di b'chalav imo. That's the intro to Asa Ta'asa, right? So lo sochlu kol nevela. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to, I don't know if anyone else is having allergies, but I'm not the only one suffering. Okay, so it's a little allergy problems. I'm not sure that's going to help or not. I can tell you that between my eyes, my nose, and my general thing, it's the beginning of May. Okay, so lo sochlu kol nevela. The Torah says that you're not allowed to eat nevela. And then the Torah concludes by saying, lo savashel gedi b'chalav imo. So one Tana made the following equation. Whatever's included in lo sochel kol nevela is included in lo savashel gedi b'chalav imo. Ofos, which are included in lo sochel kol nevela, you're not allowed to eat an oaf that wasn't shechted, right? Does everybody know that? Well, hang on to that for a second. You're not allowed to eat an oaf that wasn't shechted, so too, for the purposes of bishul of basa b'chalav, an oaf is equated with the araisa to besar behema. So that assumption is even a loaded assumption. There's an iser nevela on ofos. Well, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. There's a machlekes hatanoim whether the dinim of shechita actually apply min haTorah to ofos altogether. So there's one tana that says ein shechita l'of min haTorah, that the whole parsha of shechitas ofos doesn't really apply min haTorah. In fact, we shech chickens is only midi rabbanon. We happen not to pass like that. We pass in shechitas ofos is a din min haTorah, but there was one lone tana that said it's not. So according to that Tana, where's the Issa Nevela on birds? So Tosis points out in the first bank of Chulin that even if you hold an Ein Shechita La'of Min HaTorah, you still have to cut the Simonim. That just means that you don't have to cut them in the right way. You don't have to be machped in all the Hilchos Shechitas. But in terms of, you can't just bang the chicken over the head, you can't just shoot the chicken in the heart. You have to kill a Derech Shechita. It doesn't have to be a Kosher Shechita, but it has to be at least cutting through the Simonim. Tosis Raya for that, actually from yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah, Nibosof Tohar. So the bottom line is everybody agrees that there is an Issa Nevela on chicken, everyone agrees there's an Issa Nevela on birds. So therefore one Tana said, if it's Asa Mishum Nevela, then it's subject to the din of a Basa B'chalav. And many, many other Tanoim disagreed. Why do the other Tanoim disagree? So the Gemara quotes a further Machlokes HaTanoim. Why should we disagree with that view? That view makes a lot of sense. If it's Nevela, it's Basa B'chalav. So the Gemara quotes one view that says, no, that the word gedi just has a certain meaning to it. The word gedi just doesn't mean an oaf. A chicken is not a gedi. You want to tell me that a sheep is a gedi. You want to even tell me that that cow is a gedi. So we're talking about the word gedi can include all the kosher domesticated animals. Tell me the birds. Birds are already another part of the animal kingdom. It's so far removed from the model of a gedi. There's a nishkin gedi. That's one possibility. And then the Gemara quotes another possibility, that maybe birds are exempted from Bas B'chol D'Araisa for another reason, because b'chalavimo, they don't have milk, they don't produce milk, they're not mammals, am I correct? Okay, only mammals, called mammals for their mammary glands, so they produce milk. If it doesn't produce milk, that's not said to be a mammal. There are other simanim to tell whether something is a mammal. Mammals have hair, and mammals have a couple other conditions to them. But the real definition of mammals, yes, I will tell over the story in a second. The real definition, for those who didn't hear the joke last 16 times, that Mary Akov asked me that brilliant question once in first grade when he first learned that piece of information that mammals have hair. He asked me whether I was a mammal or not. And that was, yes, he did ask me that question. So the very definition of a mammal means that it produces milk. So the Gemara says that an oaf doesn't produce milk, it has eggs, and the different way of its raising its child. So therefore, oaf also not called chalav imo, and therefore it wouldn't be subject to basa b'chalav b'na Torah. So the Gemara has a whole array of different possibilities on a level of the Araisa. Does basa b'chalav apply to birds? So one Tana says yes, and one Tana says no. And within that Tana that says no, there's a further breakdown to know what the reason is for the no. And then the Gemara quotes a further question. Even Naniach, that there's no bas b'chol deraisa, should we institute a gezerah midrabanan? Should we add on a din midrabanan and say that v'sar of should in fact be yasser? So this is always a loaded question. Whenever you make a din midrabanan, so the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim, the Beis Din has to spend a lot of time trying to figure out, does this gezerah really make sense? Sometimes we think Chazal just made gezerah, just so you know, anytime they wanted to throw another chumrah at us. No. Every gezerah has to be significant, it has to make sense, it has to be purposeful. So if the gezeirah is going to really protect us from violating an isser, then you have to make it. If there's no reason to make it, let's say it's a milsad lo shchicha, it's so uncommon that it's going to lead to a problem, you don't make a gezeirah like that. What if it's a gezeirah that ain't rov tzi b'chom lamad, but it's a gezeirah that's too difficult for people to follow, so Beis Din is not supposed to make a gezeirah. So Beis Din has to be miyashrim, and dover zaharbe, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim. Beis Din has to sit around and try to analyze and figure out every single din d'rabbanan that they make. Is it kedai? Is it not kedai? Is it worth it? Is it going to accomplish? Is it going to harm more than it helps? So you have to be very, very careful. And every once in a while, Beis Din makes a mistake. Every once in a while, Beis Din makes a mistake. They make a gezeirah that they thought that people would be able to keep, and then they realize that it just didn't happen. So then they have a responsibility to annul the gezeirah. So that Beis Din has to keep monitoring all the time. That was one of the primary jobs of the Beis Din HaGadol, to make sure that the whole body of din d'rabbanan are instituted properly and are functioning smoothly. So here, the Tanoi Ben Machloikis, should we make a gezeirah on Basar Of or not? So it's hard for us to know what the give and take was between the Tanoim. The Gemara never explains why we should and why we shouldn't. But the Rambam adds a little bit to this. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim explains that the Tanoim, which where we ultimately paskin la'alocha, did make a gezeirah d'rabbanan to treat chicken and turkey, etc., like meat. They made the gezeirah for the following. It wasn't just a regular gezeirah that if you do this, you're going to lead to this. There was a rationale behind this gezeirah for the following, the Rambam says. The psukim that talk about bas b'cholav are very, very misleading. They're very, very vague. And if a person would walk away just reading the psukim, if a person was bamshat tzduki, was a karoi, they read the pasuk kipshuto, so they probably wouldn't even know you're not allowed to eat bas b'cholav. But even if they somehow conceded that you can't eat it, they would say, gedi means a gedi. It means a goat. It doesn't mean a sheep. Does it mean a cow? So gedi means gedi. So a person's going to make a terrible mistake. So, and especially if they see that, well, not all meat is off limits. After all, chicken's okay. So in people's minds, they think that chicken and meat, something okay. In people's minds, they think that chicken and meat, it's all the same kind of stuff. So if we're going to tell people that chicken's okay, next thing they're going to know is, well, if chicken's okay, then sheep must be okay, and cows must be okay also. So it's going to lead, because the starting point of bas b'cholav is so vague, because it's so unclear in the psukim of Darshan Chassav, it's so easy to make mistakes, says the Rambam. And then they may even make a further mistake. If they're already seeing that, oh, you see that the rabbis don't really learn too much from this pasuk is very, very limited. Maybe it only refers to chalav imo. Maybe it's only if you have a goat with its mother's milk. If I take a goat with another mother's milk, maybe that's okay. So because of the fact that the pasuk is so misleading, therefore, Chazal had to do so much more gezeiros in order to offset any misunderstanding and many misconceptions about basa b'cholav. So the bottom line is, there was a further machlokes ha'tanoim. Within the views that bas b'cholav doesn't exist in the Torah, with ofos, does it at least exist in the Rabbanan? Did they make the gezeirah or not? So one Tana said they didn't, and the other Tana said that it did.
So I guess fish is so far off that
Oh, very good. Right. So fish is so far removed. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara beginning of Kolbos. Fish is already so far removed. Nobody mixes up fish and meat. I mean, that's already a whole different. That's a different section, you know, of the menu already. The fish, right? But is the, and maybe you know more than that, is the meat and the chicken dishes are the same? They're the same
price.
No, I didn't say prices. They're, you could still, and the truth is, you know, very often you go to a shmorgas board, you can't always tell what it is, right? Maybe you can tell. I can't always tell what it is, but fish you can tell. You take a look at fish. Fish is not going to get mixed up with meat. Anyway, so the bottom line is that we have really four different possibilities what the status of basar b'chalav is, just in terms of defining the word basar. You have one Tana who says that everything's deraisa. Besar behem is deraisa. Besar chay is deraisa. Besar oif is deraisa. Everything is deraisa. That's one extreme. Then you have middle ground that says, no. Besar oif is not deraisa, but a breakdown for one of two reasons. So those one of two reasons are actually going to be important for us, not so much in terms of oif, but in terms of chaya. What's your take on deer? What's your take on antelope? What's your take on giraffe? I don't know, other kinds of chayas. What would your take be about bas b'chol of deraisa? If you exempt ophos, so here the Gemara explains it depends which source he's using to exempt ophos. If you exempt ophos because that's just not called gedi, just a bird and a gedi, too far apart. So too, an antelope and a gedi are too far apart, and an antelope and a chayas and the deers would also be excluded. But if you go down the route that the exclusion of besar of is based on the mammal svara, based on the chalavimos svara, so aren't deer mammals? Okay, good. So deer have definitely not birds. So deer are mammals, so they produce milk. So they would be included in chalavimo. So now we have enough kamina that the question, the source of what we're using to exempt ophos will now have a significant enough kamina ladina in terms of chayas. Is that deraisa or derabanan? So how do we paskin a whole array? We have four different possibilities. Either everything's deraisa, nothing's deraisa, maybe derabanan, not derabanan, ophos. How do we paskin? So one thing is very, very clear from the Gemara, that we do not paskin like the one Tana who holds that everything's butlagamri, even midraban. That was Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Gemara explains in Chulin that Rabbi Yossi Aglili, his vote was that everything's mutl midaraisa, midraban, mehete gomer, you're allowed to mamish, have chicken and milk together, lichet chishba, chachli, we cook it together, eat it together, everything's mutter, there's no problem whatsoever with chicken and milk together. That was Rabbi Yossi Aglili's view. So the Gemara says unequivocally, we do not paskin like that Tana. But the Gemara has a fascinating story in the beginning of the 19th Berachot Shabbos, where the Gemara tells us that in the days of Rabbi Yosef Gluli had not yet been outvoted, so his shita was still a valid shita, and his town actually followed his pesach. He was a rabbi, so he gave the pesach for his shul, for his town. So all the Balabatim followed his shita. The Gemara says that the practice was that they used to eat chicken and milk together in that particular town. So the Gemara says that other people joining community, nearby communities heard about this. They get very, very upset. What are you doing here? Das Yochai? So the Gemara explains, but it wasn't yet paskin against him. So in later generations, so the Beis Din finally brought it to a final vote, and his view of the view of Rabbi Yosef Gluli was rejected. But Kozman, that it wasn't rejected, so his Balabatim, his Talmidim, had a right to follow his Shita. So Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes this Gemara in the beginning of his introduction to Igros Moshe, and he points out that whenever you have a Shaila, and there's a legitimate Pesach that's given by a qualified Rav, Kozman, that Pesach has not been rejected. Well, Kozman, there hasn't been an Umdul Dominion, there hasn't been a formal rejection of that particular Das Yochid. So then, as long as that sheet has been arrived by someone who's authorized to Paskin, by someone who did his due diligence and learned to the Sugyas to the best of his ability and came to a certain conclusion, both in terms of Dinim Derabban as well as in terms of Dinim Deraisa, so that is the Pesach Halacha that's binding on him and his community. And his Tamidim and his Balabatim should follow the Pesach. And they don't have to feel bad that they're in the minority. That's okay, says Rav Moshe. He says, as long as there hasn't been an Amdulim, it hasn't been a formal vote. If there's been a formal or a quasi-formal or an informal kind of Haskam, it's called Yisrael, something like that. So then that one Shita becomes rejected. But Kozman, that hasn't happened. So then they're allowed to follow that Shita. That's the basis. We spoke about this many times in the Friday night Shurim for the comments of the Rambam. The Rambam, in his introduction to Perashat Mishnayos, explains this in great detail, that any psach that emanated post Chachmei Gemara, any takon, any minig, zayir, whatever it was, that was instituted in different communities, so those communities that accepted those minhagim, those practices, are bound by those practices. Those communities that didn't are not. So let's say even if you have rov, people accepted a certain practice, but in certain communities, their rabbanim didn't think that this was a good idea to accept, so then those communities are not bound by those minhagim, and the descendants of those communities are not bound by those minhagim and those practices either. That's why we have arayim azeh. We have different practices. We have Ashkenazi communities accepted upon themselves the isurim of kitniyos. anyone who's a descendant of Bnei Ashkenaz has to observe that that practice. Anyone who came from the communities that didn't accept that minhag, so doesn't have to follow that tchum, doesn't have to follow that gezer, that siyag. If kitnias would have been instituted by the Chachmei HaGemara, then it would have been binding on everybody, because whatever was instituted by Chachmei HaGemara has the status of a Kol Yisrael, Kol Chachmei Yisrael. We spoke about this at great length on the Friday night shiurim. So that's what the Gemara here says also, that even Bisman HaGemara, it took time until certain things were nimnu v'gomru, they should be completely excluded. So for a short period of time, Rabbi Yossi Glulis Shita was followed in his particular location. But Lamaisa, for us, it's not relevant. For us, we pass in a chicken and milk is a full-fledged, full-blown Issa Midirabbanan. Do we hold that it's more than a Midirabbanan? Maybe we hold it's a Deraisa. Who says that we don't follow the other Tanaim? Who says we don't follow the Tanaim who say that Bisat Of is Deraisa? So that was a big Machlekes and Rishonim. So there's a Taisus in Maseches Chulin who claims that we talk a paskin the other way. We paskin b'sar of is deraisa. This shows you from different makaris of the Gemara that sound that way. One of the big sources for Tosfos' idea that b'sar of is in fact deraisa is the Gemara. We'll talk a lot about this in the future weeks. The Gemara discusses about a chumra derabbanan that was added in the realm of basa b'chalav, the idea of waiting between meat and milk. So min haTorah, you don't have to wait at all. Min haTorah, as long as it's not mamish cooked together, it's mutter. Min haTorah, you can make yourself a cold sandwich. You can take a piece of beef and take a cold slice of cheese, and as long as you don't heat it together, maybe even you do heat it together, depending on Sli and Bishul, but if you take a piece of meat and a slice of cheese, you have a cold sandwich, min haTorah, that's okay, because it's lo sevasho, derech Bishul aser Torah. But mid Rabbanan, that was aser, and then mid Rabbanan, they extended and said, not only are you not allowed to mamish eat it together, but you can't even eat it one after another. And that sets up the whole sugya for how long you have to wait, and clean your mouth, and wait your mouth the time, whatever it is. We'll talk about that hopefully as we go along. But this whole idea of what the Gemara says, achol boso, the yechol gvina, so the Gemara has a comment in Maseches Chulin that of ugvina necholim bapikoirin. That when you have chicken and cheese together, you can eat it because like hefkeres, you can eat it just together. There's no, the Gemara seems to be saying there's no waiting period at all for between chicken and cheese. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. So Tosis asks the kasha, and that Tosis says, you never heard of such a thing. Tosis says, what Jewish kid eats? Who ever heard of such a principle? You can have, some kids would like to have it. You have a piece of chicken, then you can have ice cream afterwards. Lo yitochen. Tosis says, well, minig Yisrael, no one was looking all around all the Jewish communities in the world. I've never heard of such a crazy thing that people eat chicken and don't wait after eating chicken. So but the Gemara says that it's okay. So Tosis says it must be as follows. It must be that opinion, the Gemara that said that it was okay, was assuming that chicken was only mid the Rabbanan. So if chicken is only mid the Rabbanan, then it's a gezeirah, and gezeirah, like we spoke about last night, it's a siyag and a siyag, and it's a 15,000 siyagim. It's not derech bishul, and it's only chicken, and it's not even together, it's just waiting 6 hours, and it's crazy, says Tosis. So that day in the Gemara that says that chicken's only mid the Rabbanan, so that day was very makel, said you don't have to wait. But we, says Tosis, we don't pass like that day. We accept the view that chicken is deraisa. Chicken is the same as meat. It's a mamshinisa deraisa. So for us, the same way Chazal made a gezeira, you have to wait between meat and milk. They made the same exact gezeira between chicken and milk. And that explains that practice, says Taisa, because we paskin halacha unequivocally that Pesach Of is deraisa.
So in more modern day, we're dealing with something that looks like meat.
It's a whole other story. So that's a Marzaya kind of question. So here, if we had a Beis Din HaGadol today, so what would they do with some of these soy kind of stuff or these fake cheeses? Would they make a formal din derabbanan on that? I have no idea. But we don't have a Beis Din HaGadol today, so therefore we're not required to make new gezeiros derabbanan. We have enough trouble keeping the old gezeiros, so we're not required to make new gezeiros. However, there is a general din called Marasayan. There's a general halacha of Marasayan that you're not supposed to do anything that gives off the... I don't need a formal takanas al-chamim to ask the Marasayan. Marasayan is already on the books. So anything that's done that gives off an impression of doing something that's wrong, so that that in of itself is problematic. So that you have
Right, so
we're going to talk about this a little bit later. So there's a whole discussion in the ready in the Rishon, ready in the Ramon Shulchan Aruch about chor shkedim, about almond milk, about a person wants to have a meat sandwich together with a cup of almond milk. So is that considered to be a marasayin or not? So let's talk about that. So that's ready on the books. So that's not a form. It's not that we're making new gezeiros the rabbanon. The din marasayin already exists along Moshe Rabbeinu. Marasayin is almost like a deraisa thing, the visim nikiyim. So you have to figure out what is considered to be a chashash marasayin and what is not. Right, it's the same kind of thing, right. So that's it. But again, we're not dealing, in the realm that we're in the Yer Tashim Pei Beis, it's not a formal Issa Derabbanan. If it's not meat, so then it's not an Issa Derabbanan even. It's just a potential Marasayan issue which has to be tackled through the prism, through the eyes of Marasayan. One day, Chol Moed, I walk through the house and I see my kids are eating pizza. mean, from Richie's, I'm going to Richie's pizza, the taste of the pizza. So, I wasn't Chayshev East. I wasn't Chayshev pizza. I knew exactly what it was. So when I saw the bill on my credit card, how much it cost for the three slices of pizza, I'm not sure it was worth have some ruba. But, so they asked me, Abba, come on. So, my kids like to come in and say, come on, Abba, it's good. It's not even a shmura issue. There's no flour, there's no masa mill in it. Come on, yeah. I just couldn't. I didn't say it's osur, I didn't say it's a marasayin. It was definitely, the kid said, Abba, don't worry. There's not a slightest chashash. You take one bite out of it, you will know for sure. There's not even a latest asafik that this is pizza. So I said that I can't. I still from the old school, I just couldn't bring myself to eat it. But anyway, but marasayin it wasn't. Okay, back to this taste. It also wasn't, but marasayin it wasn't. So back to our story. Now, that should not be taken as a critique of Richie. Richie's my good old pal. So my kids didn't even understand I don't know how many guys here will appreciate it, why I called it Richie's Pizza. Anyone remember why? You remember why? Because the old Rich's Pizza was the famous pizza store in Yerushalayim. It was the first American hangout pizza store. It was Rich's Pizza. My kids didn't know what I was talking about. Anyone under the age of 45 didn't know, sorry for dating you, didn't know what I was talking about. The old Rich's Pizza, Richie was chaf. He thought of it called the Rich's Pizza. Okay, but no, it went right over 95% of Tinek. Okay, so back to that story. So that's the Shita Zatoisa. So the Rambam is very, very strong against this. The Rambam says, "B'shum ponav v'ayfer, we don't pass like this." Says the Rambam, "We pass kib sarof as the Rabbanan, rub the rub the tzaraim hold it's the Rabbanan." So why do we pass kib that you're not allowed to have milk if the chicken, says the Rambam? Because you misunderstood that Gemara. And the Gemara says nechol b'pkur, and it's not what it meant. So we'll have to wait for that in a week or two until we get to the Rambam had a legamri different twist on that Gemara. But what Tosafot said is legamri wrong. Says the Rambam. The Rambam says everybody knows. Bisar Oaf is only also with the Rabban, it's not also with the Raisa. The Rabban was so sure that this was true that he actually used this to illustrate a principle that was a very controversial principle. The Rambam has a theory in Huchas Mamrim, which is a big chiddush. The Rambam writes that we're used to Baal Tosif, considered mitzaseh. That's the classic example. The guy walks to the shul with five batim on his tefillin. That's Baal Tosif. I worked at shul on Sukkot with four minim, and he throws in a tulip to make it a little bit more creative. So that's the Sederaisa of Baal Tosif. Or you have some of the more nuanced Baal Tosif. The Kohen gets up and he gives a Bechus Kohenim, three brachas. Then he finishes and someone says Shkoyach and he says Baruch Tiyah. So some Achorim say maybe that's Baal Tosif. Maybe yeah, maybe not, but probably not, but there is such a Chumrah. So that's why the Kohanim, I apologize in advance, they should not think that I'm disrespectful. I give a big, big hearty Shkoyach to the Baal Musaf and then I walk right past you guys. It's only because I don't want to be machshul you and the potential of their eyes of saying Baruch Tiyah. That's the only reason why. Okay, so it's a big shaila whether that Chumrah even exists. I mean, the Chumrah definitely exists, whether it's true or not, it's a big shaila. So we usually think about Tosif related to Mitzvah Zeseh. Well, let's say, for example, the Ramban adds on in Veschana, in Parshas Chana, the Ramban says, what if you have a person who adds on a new mitzvah legamre? Not that he adds a piece to a pre-existing mitzvah. He doesn't add a bias to this field. Doesn't add a min to the loop. Doesn't add a string to the tzitzit. See, he starts a new religion. He starts a 614 mitzvah. He announces that there's a mitzvah l'shem, mitzvah hin and imuchim zuman to stand on my head on Tuesday afternoon. So that's a kach tziva Hashem Yisborach, l'shem yichud. So besides being a meshugana, so he's also in violation of Baal Tosif. That's also considered to be a hosafas ha-mitzvah. The Rambam gives a marshal, he says, like Yeravim, added on a chodesh, a bottle of liboy. He made up a new yantif. Everyone should come chodesh cheshvan to Aliyah, to wherever he came to, whatever he made his verizores. So that was a Baal Tosif. Besides all the other Yisurim, that was a Baal Tosif as well. When you misrepresent the Torah, and you add on a new mitzvah. So everybody thought that Baal Tosif wouldn't make sense in the Rambam Mitzvah Zeseh. The Rambam is a Chiddush Gadol in Hilchos Na'arim, but there's Baal Tosif by Lavim also. If a person adds on an Isser, that's also considered to be Baal Tosif. So the Rambam asks the question, we do it all the time. Didn't everybody refrain from moving Muktzah yesterday? Baal Tosif? No one's going to have today a chicken and milk sandwich, so isn't that Baal Tosif? Every Isser, there are B'shalachim, every Isser, there are one that we observe, that we refrain from. Why isn't that Baal Tosif? The Rambam says, no, it depends. If a person observes it as a din derabbanan, means he acknowledges that min haTorah, you're allowed to move muktzah. Min derabbanan, you shouldn't move muktzah, gzeir, whatever the reason of not moving muktzah is. Or you acknowledge min haTorah, goy could cook for you, as long as the food's kosher. Min derabbanan, you shouldn't do it, gzeir, shum chasnas. That's okay. As long as it's presented and observed with the mindset that it's a derabbanan. But if a person misrepresents, or if this really case the Rambam is describing, the Beis Din misrepresents the Dini HaTorah, and says that a certain din is also min HaTorah, and it's in fact not also min HaTorah, the Beis Din gets up and says, the Torah says you're not allowed to move Muktzah. So that's Shekhar B'chotov. Not only is it check here, that's an Issa D'Raisa B'Altoisa. When the Beis Din institutes the Din D'Rabbanan, they have to be very, very clear that it's a Din D'Rabbanan. They're misrepresented as a Din HaTorah, that is called B'Altoisa.
Is it only possible for Beis Din to be over
that? Oh, very good. Excellent. So it's a funny Rambam. The Rambam talks about it in the context of Beis Din. The Rambam doesn't talk. Let's see, a guy doesn't know. He doesn't know the Raisa D'Rabbanan. He just keeps the business. He thinks that Opus, he always like Tosis. He thinks Opus is D'Rabbanan. So the Rambam doesn't really describe it that way. The Rambam puts the focus on Beis Din. So it's interesting. Did the Rambam mean Dafka Beis Din, or was the Rambam just described because it was Hilchos Mamrim when he's talking? Hilchos Mamrim is speaking primarily to Beis Din, the Salachas. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the answer to that question. So the Rambam brings brings this tremendous chiddush, and others say they never heard of it. The Ravid says, L'hayu dvar miyadam. The Ravid said, if this Rambam is right, then Chazal all the time violated Baal Tosef. He said, there are so many dinim in the Gemara, you can't even tell them there are. You have sugyas, you have bachleis and mishanim, you have sugyas shleimas. How many sugyas have we started together by saying, is this din a din derais, is this a din derabon? It's a bachleis and mishanim, we don't know. So the Ravid says, if the Rambam's right, that every derabon has got to be clearly marked as a derabon, and it can't be packaged as a deraisa. So Chazal were guilty of this all the time. The Ravid says, L'hayu dvar, we never heard of such a thing. What was the mokah for the Rambam's, this theory of the Rambam, this chiddush of the Rambam? So the Kesef Mishnah says, the Rambam got it from the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, kol ha-moisif gereya. It's like, that lashon is not really about Tosef proper, but that's like a way of Chazal describing kol ha-moisif gereya. What's an example of someone who adds, ends up detracting by adding? So the Gemara quotes the posuk by Adam and Chava, that when the Nochash comes to Chava and says that, you know, you're not allowed to eat any of the trees, and you're not allowed to, Akash Baruch doesn't want to have anything. And she says, no, it's not true. Akash Baruch said, all the trees are okay. There's only one tree we're not allowed to eat from. What does she say? She says, Malakim lo socho ven lo sugubo. She comes and tells Abubimaita to the Nachash. She says, oh, by the way, Akash Baruch said, we're not allowed to touch the tree. They were never prohibited to touch the tree. They were not permitted to eat in the tree. They weren't prohibited to touch the tree. So where did she get this mishigas? You can't touch the tree. What probably happened was, Adam Marishon told her that she shouldn't touch the tree. Because it makes sense not to touch the tree. You touch the tree, you're going to come eat from the tree. So what she should have been presented as follows, or Mechava should have presented the din as follows, that Midaraisa, Midaraisa means Hashem speaking, but Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't eat the tree. Midarabanan, we're going to make a Beis Din. Adon Rishon is going to make a Beis Din. He's the only one around, so Yochanan Bar Mochel, okay, he's the only one around. He's going to make a Beis Din. His wife can join him on the Beis Din. I don't know if they can talk about that another time, another place. So he's gonna make the Beis Din, and he's gonna say, Shem, Nimna Vagamru, the Beis Din of Adam Arishon, the Beis Din of I don't know, of Gan Eden, whatever it is. So Nimna Vagamru, it's a good idea, mid the Rabbanan, we shouldn't touch the tree. But that's okay. That would have been very, very good. If that would have happened that way I just described it, that it would have been a clear demarcation, thus is their eyes, thus is their abundance, it's like Zera, there wouldn't have been any confusion. Because what did the Nochash do? The Nochash pushed her against the tree, she touched the tree, and she didn't die. So, you see that the whole thing was Shech V'Chazam. No, so she should have said, that was a Derabanan. Derabanan, you don't get punished so fast. If she would have understood, one's their eyes, one's their abundance, we would be in a much, much better picture today. The world would look very, very different. First of all, number one, wouldn't have to go to work. That clone, that wouldn't happen. Wives wouldn't need epidurals. Everything would be wonderful. People would give birth without any pain. We'd have snakes walking around serving us barbecued meat and save you some work. And then Sunday afternoon, to the Gemara says an editor, that the Nochash would walk around and give them besides sleep. So it was a gewaldic existence. So why? Because they made a goof. They ruined it for the entire world for thousands of years. Why? Because they violated the din of Kol HaMoisif Gareya. So the Kesef Mishnah, that's the mokah for the Rambam. Others say, come on, mixing, matching a little drush with a little halacha, so they're making a sum deraisa based on stories with the Nochash, that's not so poshut. The Gemara learns other dinner from the Nochash. In total amesis, the Gemara takes that Nochash story in a halachic sense, not just in a historical musa or a hashkofa sense. There are dinner because Baruch put the story of the Nochash into the Torah, so that means something in the world of halacha also. So whatever it is. So the Rambam develops this theory that the Ravid says that he never heard of. But when the Rambam wants to illustrate this theory and give me an example of a din derabanan that would be misrepresented, the Rambam had at his disposal thousands and thousands and thousands of din derabanan. He could have picked on any of the above. And the Rambam decides to pick on one. What's the one the Rambam picks on? Besar Oif. The Rambam writes, if anybody will get up and say that Besar Oif is Asar, Min HaTorah, the Ein Lecha, Al Taisiv Gadol Mizeh. no violated by Tosif, no pun intended. The Tosif, they were Tosif, they were the Valet Tosif. According to the Rambam, the Valet Tosif violated by Tosif. They told you that Pesarov, they passed Pesarov was their Aisa. The Rambam says, Chalila, Chalila, to say such a thing that, to say Pesarov is Mutta Becholov, that's Rabbi Yossi Lila, we don't follow that Shita. But to say that it's also been a Torah, Bishum part of our defense. So the Rambam says you have to present Bas Becholov, so I'm now following the Rambam, presenting Bas Becholov according to the view of the Rambam right now, that it's also been the Rabbana, not been their Aisa. How do we Paskin Halacha? Does it make a difference? So 99.99% of the time, it does make a difference. We observe Shabbos and Chanukah. We observe Basma. We observe Chabbos and Pesach and Bishlach. We observe the rice and the rabbanans. My nafkamina is Besarof, the rice and the rabbanans. Also, anyway. So it could be a few nafkaminas here and there. We may certain sveikas, certain shailas that come up. So it may be important for us to know what's their rice and what's their rabbanan. We'll see. It's going to become important in terms of Bishul, in terms of Hanok, and some other things. So this is not just a theoretical question. This is a potentially very, very important question, whether Besar Of is their rice or their rabbanan. The haskamas of all the later posts are pretty much universal. Not totally unanimous, maybe one dissenting view, but pretty much the last 500 years or so, is like the Shita Sar Rambam, that the Ruba, the Rishonim held this way, and that's how we accept the Halacha, that Besar Of exists in full force, but mid the Rabbanim. Besar Chai is a little bit trickier, because there are stevers actually in the Rambam. One place the Rambam writes one way, another place the Rambam writes another way. But at least Besar Of, the more common Shaila, we assume exists, albeit only on a level of the Rabbanim. So we explained a little bit just with the word Gedibi, the Sadash of Gedibi Chalavimo, but we still have a lot more work to do even on the word Gedibi itself, because we limited it to domesticated, maybe the wild animals will be out, but at least to Shor Sevaes. What about other kinds of animals which are not quite classic of these, but they are behemoths? What about if that particular behemoth is not a kosher behemoth? Chazir, is that subject to Bas B'cholov? So you're probably wondering, well, I can't eat it anyway. That's true, they can't eat it anyway, but being Bas B'cholov is much, much worse than not eating. It carries with it a Surim of Bishul, carries with it a Surim of Hanah. So we have a whole other question about what the status is of Bas B'cholov on meat that you shouldn't be eating in the first place. Do any of these Surim of Bas B'cholov get thrown at you as well? So next week, we'll try to continue this.